This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Oh yeah, that is right. And welcome to the show. It's that time where hip-hop lives here at FUBAR Radio every Monday, 4pm. Yeah. And first, before we get into the thick hip-hop things, we have to say a very special thank you to the lovely Ian Bolesworth.
Last one.
He's been looking after you for the last 2 hours right here. And if you missed that or any FUBAR show, you can listen back to them on the website. Last week on this show, we were joined by DITC's finest, OC. That was super fresh, and me and Mice spoke to him for ages. We were having a good old chinwag. And also Tony D and Locksmith performed live in the studio for us as well. So definitely hit that up. FUBARradio.com/shows/hip-hop. And Mice is away again today. I'm starting to think I smell or something. And so today I'm joined by my magical, lovely co-host, brother from another... Another hip-hop mother.
Yo! How you doing, Sarah Love? You good?
I'm very good. Welcome, Chew, back to the show.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
I know. Again, because normally when you're here, it's when I'm away.
Yeah, it has been. But again, when I am here, though, with you, the sun seems to come out, so it's pretty good.
It's a sign, Chew.
It is a sign.
I think the universe is trying to tell us something.
They are aligning the stars.
Yeah? Taking it with a positive message there from the universe that you and I need to be together. But yes, coming up today on the show with myself and Chew, we are going to be speaking to a real legend. A real legend, Junior Marvin of the Wailers. Yes, as in the Wailers, as in Bob Marley.
Hot damn.
Yeah, so you're going to hear when I met him last week. And also, we're going to be joined by Kashmir and Zygo, a strange you. They're going to be live in the studio with us, and there's going to be some more live performance action from them as well. We've got the open mic with some very cool MCs coming up, and lots of dope new music for you, including brand new Rock Marciano and Dabbler 2. Not Kashmir. Chew is going to be taking care of the investigation this week.
Yes,
so I'm looking forward to hearing what you've got for us, Chew. Make sure you get in touch. It's hiphop@fubarradio.com. We love hearing from you. But first, let's play you something from our special guest last week. That was OC, a DITC. This is FUBAR Radio. It's myself, Sarah Love, and the one and only
Chew.
Taking care of you. Keep it locked.
This courtesy of guap, also for those thinking it was shot, it's no format. I speak about everyday life, nothing's mechanic. You feel it, cause my shit is organic. iPhones catch stills in my spirit through their cameras. Verbal warlock, concoct spells and tell what I thought. I absolutely this a warning not to call out my name. What you hear that count sound off?
1, 2, 3.
Y'all press for time, be the purpose. Bench warmers, observe it. I kill it on wax as well as live with the 24/7 spies. Spill my guts for sleepers and wake them up to slumber like thunder. My bounce spongy, rap lightweight, succumb to the envy. So I keep the nickel plated in the Fendi. I need all y'all to please rise when the count starts.
1, 2, 3.
I need all y'all to please rise, stand up. I need all y'all to please rise, sound off. I need all y'all to please rise, stand up. I need all y'all to please rise, sound off. I need all y'all to please rise, stand up. I need all y'all to please rise, sound off. I need all y'all to please rise when the count starts.
1, 2, 3.
To outline the composite, the verbal sketch artist landscapes come to life so you can visualize it. Film features like Spielberg, each scene layered with subliminal codes. Truth I expose, if you catch it might be hard to swallow. Many ignore insert tactics that your third eye can access. Otherwise your brain faced blackness.
Hit a 1, hit a 2, 3.
Few are smart, those who is, I see your passion. My darts are worth more than jewels and fashion. You got apples in your pockets, though I can't replace it with diamonds. Till you dump the bullshit and foolishness. Y'all need to hammer out the kinks in order for your body work to mirror that smooth finish. So who's with it? My whole crew stay shining, this is digging, nigga.
1, 2, 3.
I need all y'all to please rise, stand up. I need all y'all to please rise, sound off. I need all y'all to please rise, stand up. I need all y'all to please rise, sound off. I need all y'all to please rise, stand up. I need all y'all to please rise, sound off. I need all y'all to please rise when the count starts.
1, 2, 3.
Brand new from OC.
Bang on.
Sounding good, right?
Yeah. I was like OC, man, since Time's Up. Was Time's Up, wasn't it?
Yeah. You told us all about Time's Up last week on the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So if you missed it.
It was proper in depth, and we spoke about Crook and Dodgers, all sorts. Definitely hit that up. That track was taken from his brand new album, which is free, available for free download. Same moon, same sun, and you can get it right now. That track was called Sound Off, produced by Guap Sullivan.
For free? Is that for a limited time?
I don't think it's for a limited time, but I know he was explaining to us last week that it's like part of a series that he's got a whole load of new music on the way for people, and that's the first offering. But you know, you'll hear all that good stuff right here first on FUBAR Radio with myself, normally with my Stiggy, but Mice is away, so I'm joined by the lovely
Chewday.
And Chu, how's life been for you?
It's been alright. Still doing, holding down the open mic Noteworthy on every Sunday, that Hackney. Still waiting for you to come down to do a little guest cut, a little scratch, a little 5 minute
well,
scratch.
Well, when I get a formal invite, okay. I'll be there.
All right, I shall write
one
up.
I've got a busy diary.
Yeah, I know. This is what I mean. I need you to be free on a Sunday. It's going to be quite rare, but we'll see.
Well, Sunday is normally family day, but you know, seeing as you are extended family, then technically it all fits in correctly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's lovely to have you here with us.
Good.
I know Mice is off doing some, as he says, famous ass shit. So I look forward to hearing what he is up to today, but we want to hear from you guys. So it's hiphop@foodbarradio.com, and for the regular listeners, you know, we like to start the show off with the positive tip, because it's funny how many people I know are like living with grudges under their belt from like 15 years ago and things like this, and it makes me sad. Aww. I think people need to project some positivity into not just the world but into their own lives, and if we all did that, everything would be a nicer place, wouldn't it? And there's so many reasons to feel positive. You don't look convinced, Chu.
Of course I do. Yeah. That positivity, man. Yeah. Love it. I live by it.
Yeah.
I only see the good, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
You can check with my girl, Laura. She knows. I'm very very chilled with every walk of life.
Yeah.
Very, very tolerant. That's
okay.
Me.
Well, maybe we'll call Laura later on in the show and confirm
do call
that.
Yeah.
But I think there's so many good reasons to feel grateful to, like, just even on a hip hop level, like the amount of people who have contributed things that have been part of like a soundtrack to my life,
part
of schooling us as people and shaping us as a community and everything. And this week is an important week, I think, because we have to remember one of the legends of hip hop, like in terms of people who have really kind of made that crossover.
Pioneer over that sort of, you know, to go from sort of the underground to mainstream and not lose that credibility is pretty rare, especially in hip hop.
Exactly. And so we like to use this part of the show to send out a massive
big up
to people who are important. And in this week it had to be one person, and that is the Notorious B.I.G. I mean, like, for you, would you say he's an influential rapper for you too?
Nah, definitely. I mean, I was almost going to arguments over people for, because I was definitely more Biggie than Tupac. So, but Biggie was definitely the one for me. I think maybe it was the beats as well. It's just the way he flowed on them as well. He was the one, man. He was the one.
And it's just crazy how fast time has flown. So it's like 1997.
Oh my God.
1997.
What are
he
you
was
talking
murdered.
About? That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And I mean, B.I.G., Notorious B.I.G., it was first like through the remix on the Mary J. Blige single Real Love. And that's what's crazy too, to think of what the charts were like in them days. Like, that was a top 10 record then, you know? And to imagine a song like that or a rapper like that on a,
getting
on a pop
an
song.
Yeah, pop on
pop
your
kind
R&B
of
one,
unimaginable now, isn't it? And that was followed with the What's the 411 remix as well that he was on. And then
was it Who's the Man?
Party and Bullshit was he was his solo track,
that was the
which
one.
Was on,
that was
on the Who's the Man, yeah.
Such a banger.
And then 1994, which one of my favourite years in hip hop as well. He was on the Craig.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
cool.
Is that controversial?
Yeah. No, it's not. I don't think that actually is. I think it would be interesting though to put that out though. What is the best year?
Well, I think a lot of people, there's very strong argument for 1988, I'd say, as well. But no, 1994, sorry, maybe it's just the age that I am. The generation means 1994 was a bit special for me, nostalgic time for me. But he was on the Flavor in Your Ear remix. That was alongside LL Cool J and Busta. And that was not reached number 9 in the charts.
That's mental.
I know. Like, that was some straight up hip hop business. And then to be on in the top 10. I can't even get my head around that now. And then in 1994, he dropped his debut solo, which was Ready to Die, of course, and also the first album for Bad Boy Records.
Yeah. Do you remember? Did you get the first? Did you get the first issue of that?
Yeah.
They only had 10 tracks on it, didn't it? Single vinyl.
Yeah.
So I got that, and then what, about 2 weeks later, the bloody CD came out. 16 tracks. Gutted.
Yeah, but vinyl's nicer than a CD anyway. Yeah, but then then you can get some comfort with that.
Yeah, but I wanted those tracks, man.
Yeah.
So I had to get both.
No, definitely.
Sacrifice
and it was, I mean, that was just, I think that's a really, imagine, when you think of a debut album, a way to come straight out the gates with an album like Ready to Die. He had production on there, Easy Mo B, Premier, Lord Finesse was on there, among others, including Sean Puffy Coombs.
Oh, yeah, of course,
yeah,
one of
your favourites. All those beats that he was banging out.
He was an insanely dope producer, wasn't he? Very talented guy.
And it's the only album released during his lifetime. Last week, me and Mice were talking about Big Pun and how Capital Punishment was the only solo album that he released in Pun's lifetime. And it's just it's just tragic, man. It's really tragic. And thinking how young these guys are. And it was just days before the second album, Life After Death, came out, that he was shut down. And Ready to Die made quadruple platinum.
That is mental.
I'm not even sure how many records that is, but it sounds impressive anyway.
Yeah, especially then when it actually meant something. Because you couldn't. It meant something. People had to buy your stuff, didn't they? Well, unless you copied it onto tape. But
yeah, because really, it's like, what's quadruple platinum on Spotify? Does anyone care about that? I'm not sure.
No,
not knocking anyone who is quadruple platinum on Spotify or anything. But and then of course that was like the height of the East Coast West Coast things, but you're saying that you always took to the more the Biggie side of things than Tupac.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to say something really controversial right now.
Look,
this could get me capped out in these
streets. This is your thoughts and Sarah's thoughts alone, just to clarify.
There's a disclaimer. I feel like, obviously I have so much respect and love for Tupac, but I feel he's one of the most overrated rappers of all time.
Look, you know what? I'll put the tiger on my back with you.
Complete
agreement.
Well, we need someone on the other side of the fence. Where's Sean? Get Sean in the studio.
I'm in complete agreement. Okay. I did like Tupac when he guested on tracks. When he guested on tracks. He used to smash it when he sort of guest rapped. But his actual stuff, I don't know.
And that doesn't mean that I don't have respect for him and I recognise like what his contribution
what he's done,
is
what he's
and
achieved.
All of
that,
that stuff. I think, you know, he was gorgeous. He had a great six pack. And like,
that's exactly why I liked him and had posters of him everywhere. I've got a tat of him on my back.
Do you? Your full back? Your full back with Tupac.
Tupac.
Just his face. And also, it's something even more controversial. One of my favourite Tupac joints is, I Get Around.
That's a track.
Joints is How Do You Want It with Casey and JoJo.
Wow.
I know, see, that's not allowed. There's like a proper hip-hop head that's like, you scum of the earth!
How dare you!
How dare you say that?
When was the last time you played it out, though? Let's see how much you liked it.
Years ago.
No, there's no Tupac getting dropped for you. I don't remember any Tupac in any of your sets ever, even when he was big. You still...
No, but maybe at my girlfriend's house party something. You know, that's when we get on the dance on the table.
You promised me, Sarah, you promised you'd play. It's my birthday.
Oh, fucking hell, all right then.
No, I actually love that joint. How Do You Want It, Tupac? That's the jam, man. But and that's the beauty of being a female hip hop head, is that I can flip between whatever sides of things that I like without, you know, really caring too much, using too much street cred or anything. But Ready to Die and Biggie. I mean, that was like the whole thing. It was like Biggie versus Pac in it. And Big Poppa was the second single, which I didn't realize as well, on the Ready to Die album, and that was nominated for Grammy Award, which that's the funny thing, thinking about record thinking about awards ceremonies.
Yes, indeed.
And yeah, whether you even remember who gets nominated or who wins in what year or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's still gone down as like one of the best albums of the 90s, one of the most significant albums of hip hop history, I think. He was just such a charismatic rapper as well. And yeah, he had tunes for, he had something for everybody, you know, and he had everybody's respect. So it was only correct that we sent a massive
big up. To the man himself.
To the man himself, you see. And so, yeah, this week, 1997, Notorious B.I.G. was murdered in the street. And yeah, so I thought it was only correct we played you one tune. It's quite hard for me to pick a song for you of his, a single
record. I was
going to
say, I think it's the original Big Papa on the album.
Yeah.
Is it that one? But it's the telephone messages intro bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. I can't remember if it is actually that one, but because when it came out, I think the actual single was a bit more poppy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But on the album, it was just a oof. Oh yeah, I'm intrigued to see what you're going to drop, actually.
Because there's even tracks like on there, these little hidden gems. Like, do you remember there was a joint Suicidal Thoughts?
Little Finesse.
Yeah.
Little Finesse and the beat.
And that's what I'm saying. When you think that was like a pop crossover album with production from Finesse, with dark tunes like Suicidal Thoughts on there.
It's a bang as well.
But again, that just shows his ability as a wordsmith, just being able to transport you into these different worlds and, you know, settings and everything with tracks like that. And then on the flip side, you have joints like this, which, this is a hip hop classic, produced by DJ Premier. We're sending a massive shout out to Notorious B.I.G. who died this week in 1997. 20 years ago. What
crazy.
The hell? Time is flying by. Hold tight. This is Hip Hop is Food Bar Radio. Coming up next, we're going to be getting into some investigation time, and we're speaking to the Wailers.
Live from Bedford Stuyvesant, the livest one. Representing BK to the fullest. Gats a bullet, bastards ducking when Big B bucking. Chicken heads be clucking in my bathroom fucking. It ain't nothing. They know Big B handling with the Mac in the actor paneling. Bandaging MCs, oxygen they can't breathe. Mad tricks up the sleeve. Wear boxes so my dick can breathe. Breeze through in the Q45 by my side. Lyrical high, and those that brushes my clutches get put on crutches. Get smoked like touches from the master. Hate to blast ya, but I have to. You see, I smoke a lot. Your life is played out like Kwame and them fucking polka dots. Who rock the spot? Biggie, you know how the weed go. Unbelievable. Also known as the Bon Appetit. Rappers can't sleep, need sleeping. Big keep creeping, bullets heat sinking. Casualties need treating, dumb rappers need teaching. Lesson A, don't fuck with B.I. That's that, oh I thought he was whack, oh come now. Why y'all so dumb now? Hunt me or be hunted. I got 357 ways to simmer saute. I'm the winner all day. Lights get dimmer down Biggie's hallway. My forte causes Caucasians to say he sounds demented. Call weed scented. If I said it, I meant it. Bite my tongue for no one. Call me evil or unbelievable. The sunroof of Lexus coupes, leave no witnesses. What you think this is? Ain't no amateurs here. I damage and tear. MCs fear me. They too near not to hear me. Clearly, I'm the triple beam dream. 1,000 grams of uncut to the gut. It seems fucked up the way I touched up the grill. Trying to play gorilla when you ain't no killer. The gats by your liver, your upper lip quiver. You're ready to die. Tell God I said hi. Throw down some ice for the nicest MC. Niggas know the steelo, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I just love what Premier did on that track as well. Like, just he's just so creative.
Primo.
Just taking that. I think it's. Is it R. Kelly? The Believable. That just, flip that up there. Yes, that just sums it up, my feelings of it. This is FUBAR Radio. That last cut, of course, Unbelievable. B.I.G. 20 years after he was murdered. It's appalling. And we're going to be taking care of you till 6. Of course, today we've got the open mic coming up for you, as well as Strange. You are going to be live in the studio with us. And Mice is away, but I'm joined by my very special co-host this week.
I'm Inspector Chuzo. I'm stepping in for Mastro. I'll be investigating something for him.
We need to find you some Inspector Chuzo.
Inspector
music.
Chuzo, what is that? Bomb. I've been doing a little bit investigating. Just with regards to sort of music and stuff like that, especially nowadays. Like back in the day, it's sort of
back in the day.
Back in the day, my days, used to watch like award ceremonies and shows. It used to mean something. I used to sort of watch these award shows. Maybe it's the age thing as well, but I definitely used to sort of watch it, like when, especially the music ones, and then. You sort of try and sort of find out who's new and who's doing well, kind of thing. We're just sort of seeing if that rings true today, basically. Just trying to work out if winning a music award actually means anything nowadays. But I haven't time to think about it. I was actually thinking about tweaking it to something. Do any of the artists who win the awards mean anything to you? Have you ever sort of discovered artists who, because they've won something or they gained anything more from winning it? I'm not too sure.
That's kind of deep. I wonder if Tupac won any major awards.
I'm sure he must. Oh. If he someone there, Tim Joshua, we're not hating on him, just so you know, yeah?
Tim Joshua jumped in. He says, Tupac overrated. Now I'm sounding like Trump when he said Meryl Streep is overrated. Look, Tim Joshua, right? You want to take it to the streets?
You take it to Sarah Street. Yeah, you can take it up with her. But yeah, if he's won anything, let us know, Tim, actually, because I don't know. But, I was just talking. I mean, I think the last time, it's probably Dizzy, when he won the Mercury, I think that was pretty big. That was probably like the last sort of crossover kind of like meant something, I felt. Just because it got acknowledged. It's probably put grime out there a lot more. And
yeah, I guess
I'm sure a lot of people thought he possibly sold out or whatever by winning this sort of, a predominantly more sort of rock based award, but. I think that was pretty impressive.
Sorry, which award are you talking about?
Mercury. I think he won a Mercury.
Oh, when he won
that was ages ago. It was ages ago, but that was probably the last time
that's
I can think of
something. Another generation ago now.
Yeah, but people still know Dizzy. And he's probably still out there partly because of that. He got a lot of attention because of winning that one. And I think well-founded, well-deserved at the time. So
definitely. And I think particularly an award like Mercury, like that definitely launches people's career to another level. Like it takes you to another platform of promotion, and you're able to reach a whole next fan base and everything compared to before that, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know whether I'm trying to think if there's anyone that they've won an award and so then I've gone out and become friends of fans of them.
Yeah,
because
exactly,
of that.
Because of it, Or did you need that validation as a fan? Do you know? I don't know. I don't really need it.
But what matters? What is it that matters? Is it because I'm just convinced that with award ceremonies, it's just about people. It's just a big It's just a massive advertising campaign.
Okay. Yeah.
Whether that's for films and that's why I think there's so much hype behind that La La Land film, which I'm boycotting, even though.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't seen it. But they did.
It looks a bit twee. No. Okay. Yeah. I randomly watched it, actually, the Oscars. I just randomly watched it. I didn't actually know about the old hoo ha. Just I sat through it and then just got to the end. I was like, "What the fuck is happening, man?" It was so bizarre.
I didn't see that whole section, but
I saw the whole
funny thing
because I was watching it as if it was live. It was just painful, really painful watching, man. It was horrible.
And so they literally did all of their "Thank you, mummy, thank you, grandma," everything.
It was shocking. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah.
And then after Warren Beatty, two legends, Hollywood legends, like Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, looked like a little bit sort of some geriatrics now, who lost their marbles.
Liberty.
I don't know. I don't think it was their. I don't actually know whose fault it was in the end, but. It was just bad, really bad.
But at the same time, I did see the Moonlight film the other day, and I think I can't imagine that there's anything happening in that La La Land film that would have surpassed that in terms of it.
No.
It's just a lovely musical serenading you with jazz.
Yeah, yeah. But, it's not really much.
That's the impression that I got, but I haven't seen it, so who am I to judge?
Yeah,
anyway?
No, but this is it. But you can still get a rough idea from it. Anyway, but I was just going mostly with the music, but just a quick one from Darren. For me personally, it means nothing.
There's been a lot of genuine talent doesn't get a look into mainstream awards, so it's kind of like a lottery for the 1%.
Yeah.
Which I kind of sort of get as well, but yeah, it is a tough one.
I think it's more relevant to the, in my opinion, it's more relevant to the industry. Like, I like the whole thing of getting that cred from a street level.
Yeah.
You know, that is priceless, and that's not something that you can buy. Like, that's earned. True. You know what I mean? And that's also why you have to respect people like Biggie in it, because they truly did do that, where it was from a street level to being, you know, international chart success. Like, that's hard to buy. Whereas I think it's a lot of having friends in the right places to get, you know, that industry backing,
that stuff,
to get to a point where you've got the right names in your film or on your album or whatever to be a contender.
So I'd like to know who's actually, you know, when they say the you know, whoever's awarding it, who's actually picking them, though? Do you know what I mean? Who's the actual sort of panels in the end? Of, you know, who's...
And that's the thing, it's different with different awards, isn't it? Because some of them are voted by the people, apparently, and then others it is like some toffee sort of
behind
sits
the,
at a desk
behind
somewhere
the scenes. Yeah, exactly.
Deciding about urban music and things. So,
Can you urban yourself up.
But yeah, it did people like Dizzy a favour, and then look how many careers have benefited because of Dizzy's success.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the glass half full way. But we want to know what you guys think.
Hell's
it's hiphop@foodbarradio.com. So what are you asking? Does an award, winning an award matter?
Yeah, does winning any music award... I mean, does any artist who's won a music award mean anything to you, basically?
Like, oh, deep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's deep.
I was trying to... Yeah, because my one's a bit general, because obviously...
But general's good.
Okay. Well, does winning a music award mean anything? That's the question, then.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hit us up, Foobar Radio. Yeah, @FUBAR Radio. And
Biggie, he didn't win any awards with the Ready to Die. So, and that's like something that goes down as a classic record, a classic album, isn't it? So that's one argument. And then on the other side, you've got someone like Dizzy. So what do you guys think? hiphop@foobarradio.com. Get in touch with me and shoot in the studio. I have got some ill new music on the way for you as well. And coming up very soon, we're going to be speaking to Junior Marvin.
Wow.
The Wailers. So that's do not insane. Move a muscle. This is Foobar Radio. But right now, something brand new for you, straight out of High Focus.
Yeah. Who the man? Who the motherfucking man? Strapping bats of Afghan in the back of the Jackie Chan. Give me a jam and hand me your bag of sand and cancel your travel plans and come witness the full shebang. I'm a one-man band, you're just a sham, trying to run a scam, man. I should flatten you where you stand. You're not in the plan, should be banned from your own clan for being bland, cause that is the reason we'll never hang. Plus I'm keeping it extra ham, and a leg of lamb, back in the manor, rattle a can, like, bust a little blam on the right van, tagging up my whole damn fam, cause I can. Firstly a fan, you better understand, bang bang, the boogie gang are fully nang, bread and butter and jam is full of spam, and a sweaty gland for getting your head in the fucking sand. Kept it buried in crime, we get it rammed. It's all part of becoming a solid plan or a hologram. Check these wagons and bands and silly brands, all brewing to the bubbling expands and they shit their pants. The Dan Dada or Daddy Dan's, his movement in Paddy's plans. He's slapping the future out of your grabby hands. Here, let me draw you a fucking diagram. Yeah, I just done a line of diazepam. Weird, but still, say nothing.
Say nothing.
Even off on a tilt. Say nothing.
Say nothing.
Same goes for the filth. Say nothing. Spread butter while I'm spilling this milk. Say nothing.
Say nothing.
Just as I thought. Say nothing, bruv. Surely we've discussed this before. Say nothing. What you gonna do? Take me to court? Say nothing. Yeah, thank you for the love and support. Say nothing.
Say nothing.
Yep, silence is golden. Y'all need to learn to shut the fuck up, crying and sulking. Makes you find me an omen that correlates to the moment of vibe I'm on while I'm trying to time the convulsions. Cry me a moat, ride the emotion. Blow up right in your boat like an explosion. My slogan is fuck them all to the broken and chuck them a load of length to my dick's violently swollen. Yeah, I know, kinda revolting, highly outspoken, hyperindulgent, sniping opponents. Rightfully so, life is unfolding in a fully blown, icily cold, stifling motion.
Final result, piping a solvent in a fur coat, striking a pose, smiling and joking. Frightfully bold, stroking a cobra, and I still can't deny my involvement. I own the whole thing, but still, say nothing.
Say nothing.
Even off on a tilt, say nothing.
Say nothing.
Same goes for the filth, say nothing. Spread butter while I'm spilling this milk, say nothing.
Say nothing.
Just as I thought, say nothing, bruv. Surely we've discussed this before, say nothing. What you gonna do, take me to court? Say nothing, yeah, thank you for the love and support, say nothing.
Say nothing.
New Dabbler, Say Nothing is the name of the tune. It's produced by Some Guy, taken from his forthcoming project that's going to be called Chapsville, and it's going to drop on High Focus Records.
Yeah, again, always trust where High Focus, man.
Yes, and we're going to have some more special High Focus treats coming up later in the show as well, so do not go anywhere. This is Food Bar Radio with myself, Sarah Love, and this week I'm joined by...
Chew.
Welcome, Chew. And Chew has been asking you guys a question.
Yeah.
Important question.
Very important question, actually.
Sorry, what do you... Oh, Chewzo. No, Inspector Chewzo.
Yeah, Inspector Chewzo. I have a question for you with my current investigation. I was wondering if winning a music award means anything nowadays at all to anyone. Young, small, female, male. I do not know. but yes, yeah, so I don't know. I'm just wondering, basically. So I've got a few already. And just quickly, Tupac did actually win some awards.
Yeah.
You got American Music Award for Favorite Rap Hip Hop Artist 97, Soul Train Music Award Best Album, All Eyes on Me, Soul Train Music Award Best Rap Album, Me Against the World. It's surprising, isn't it? Because I don't know many hip hop, well, maybe my hip hop mates. I don't know anyone who mentions Tupac as one of their. It's weird, isn't it?
Who mentions Tupac as
well? Yeah, as one of their sort of faves or any of their. No one sort of goes, oh, they don't drop any Tupac tunes to me, man. So it's really weird.
I think it just kind of depends what hip hop camp you stem from, maybe. It's something. It's a bit political, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, fair. All right, let's go back to the question anyway, because that's a whole different topic altogether. So yeah, Tim Miller said something really I quite like, very insightful. I think it's a sense of achievement in terms of what the artist gains from it. Also, exposure is a biggie too. For example, Mercury Prize always seems to be the one that everyone kicks on from. If I'm being cynical as an outsider, I'm sometimes sceptical about who's actually choosing who wins and what their motives are. So
definitely,
it's a lot of the people behind the scenes. We've got Jesh. Tend to find that it seems to matter only when you win it. So yeah, obviously, yeah, if you win it, smashing it.
But even then, because I'm like, who 3 years ago won Best Actor at the Oscars?
I'll tell you right when I Google it. No, I don't know.
But that's what I mean. Who won in 1992?
Yeah, because even if they win it, it's sometimes when the someone you wanted to win doesn't win it, no one else would remember that person. Even to go later on, they go, yeah, actually, the other guy deserved it.
It's like who came second in Big Brother.
Yeah, exactly. No one
hardly knows who won Big Brother, let alone who came second on Big Brother.
I wonder why they're still so big then. So I wonder why they still get so much sort of press airplay from us, suppose. Again, it's just the money, isn't it?
Sorry, are we talking about Big Brother now? Or no?
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah.
Big Brother.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just about creating a promo opportunity for the industry so then they can go, award-winning album, so-and-so, so-and-so. No, there was something. Oh, can I remember? No, but we had the Brits just the other day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, we did actually.
But I just think honours it has no real impact sales on my life.
Yeah, is it more sales then, as opposed to? Do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, because everyone, I'm assuming anyone who actually got who would be nominated, everyone's put work into it. They've all got a team behind them. So what's the difference? It must. Do you see what I mean? Like, what difference is it? Like, why would someone like Adele win? Why is her stuff being acknowledged than other people's not? Because I'm sure they're working just as hard trying to get their stuff out there.
But she's a sensation that women can relate to.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I gravitate more towards Taylor Swift, obviously. I feel like
she's the sense of the real
sensation. Yeah, she's the true idol.
Really?
Yeah, real ready, a legend in the making.
I can't say much of it. Either of those options have really moved my life, rattled me to the core. But whereas our guests who are coming up later on the
show, that's
music that truly, I mean, I don't know how many like Grammys or awards were the Grammys going there. I have no idea that Bob Marley won.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, this is music where that speaks to people's heart and soul. It's timeless music that has just gone across generations.
Definitely.
As kids right now, my nieces and nephews, they love Bob Marley. You know, okay, maybe I have, like,
partially influenced them.
Yeah. But, you know, I just think...
You're not getting out of the car until you hear that.
I need all the lyrics inside correctly.
Wrong. Another 5 minutes in the car.
Yeah. So that's one technique that I use.
Yes.
But no, so I think there's so many artists, that don't ever get a look in these kind of things because they're not part of that media machine. But maybe that's what the team in the green room are really good at, finding out what awards Bob Marley's won during his career.
Yes.
Lizzie in the green room's like, okay, I'm on it.
Yeah, you had mentioned
she's incredible with her Google skills.
Let's see,
she's incredible with the Google skills. But yeah, no, and what you're saying, you'd heard from a couple other people too.
Yeah,
hip-hop at foobarradio.com.
Do it. So Jono's saying it's difficult because music's so subjective. So if you're getting one award from people who don't really support the music normally, say Mercury Award with Dizzy, because they're giving it, it's good for the people who normally listen to the winners of Mercury Award music genres, whatever, because obviously grime wasn't really in it. So then if you listen to grime at the point, you're not going to give a monkey's if the Mercury are acknowledging Dizzy or not, because he's already earned his stripes. Do you see what I mean? It all seems a bit late, these awards thing, you know?
Because it's an industry thing. It's not about, like, the people. The industry is suddenly like, oh, gosh, grime, we can put a dollar on that.
Yeah.
There's something that worth marketing here that we can associate these acts with and boost them to a whole new audience that we can market with. So yep. I think there's definitely other... And it was funny that year with... when Kanye West jumped on stage at the Grammys, and he was like, you respect Beyonce as an artist, or whatever it was
he was
saying.
Some painful thing, yeah.
But then it's like, because Beck won the award for best act that year, or best artist that year. I can't remember what I don't actually watch these things.
Nah.
But then it was just funny, because when you look at the credits in the liner notes for the Beyonce album, it's just like umpteen names behind every track, and you know, you look at the Beck album, it was like all written by him, all performed by him, all produced by him. And so, you know, how do we measure like a best artist?
Yeah, no, it's true. It really depends on what you're into as well. That's why, you know, Jono's saying that, you know, so subjective is true. I think some of the musicians who sort of wrote in are sort of saying for them, they're saying if they were to win it, like I say, honor here, it would be obviously to get that recognition from that level, at that level, would be obviously insane, you know, and to be going up against other people as well. I suppose you think you deserve to win it, you know.
Bob Marley Awards, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 1994. Okay, so
94.
Yeah, that's okay. So Bob Marley, he died in 90. Oh, wait, what are you doing? Yeah, no, stop.
Was that me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
1994, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Grammy Time Lifetime Achievement Award, 2001, Order of Merit. That was in 1981. I wonder if that was before or after he died. And the Peace Medal of the Third World in 1978. Aww, bless him. And he won some Mobo Awards in 2005. I think, you see, and that's what I mean. He was obviously not, I don't know what those institutions were really saying around the years that he was active, to be fair. But I think he's an artist who's probably one of the most important that we've had in the history of 20th century recording music. But what do you guys think? Like, does winning an award actually mean anything to you, like in how you regard an artist? Hit us up, hiphop@foobarradio.com. You can also reach us on Twitter as well at Foobar Radio. Shout out to Russell, locked into the show, Laura Maidman, Keith Price, Scylla B, Evil Twin. You can get in touch with me on Twitter as well, at DJ Sarah Love. What's your Twitter, Jim?
You can find me at Chudat, Chrudat. Shout out to James Cole, Tracy Smith, Eddie Fahrenheit, Darren, Jamie, Honor, who else? Dougie, quite a few cats. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And
But you keep your answers coming through to us because, you know, this is an ongoing question that we're going to be answering throughout the show. But I want to play you right now something brand new from Rock Marciano and take us from his latest album. And coming up right after this, we're going to be getting into our chat with Junior Marvin of the Wailers. He's dropping some serious jewels right here. This is FUBAR Radio.
Younger sluts play double dutch. My new Mac 11 came with the muzzle on the front. Nigga, this ain't no front. My taste buzz Trump, your flavor of the month. Raps can't fuck with me, you can't name one. I paid a lump, the table spun. I dip my blunt, angel dust. The gauge pump, turn your brain to mush. Slug make the potato bust. Imagine what that Draco does. Give you a halo while I'm sniffing Yayo off a J-Lo butt. It made a player face go numb. Shut up! Beefing with me and my lead, we cola. You're not bona fide, them hoes, I just bone and slide. I had a moment, the sky open. You're not potent, the ibuprofen. This is heroin, that brown, not that yellow shit. They stepping all over it. If you look close, you can see the Louis Loafer print. Some nigga put his toes in this shit. No shit, it's over with. Hold his shoulder, yeah, ship. Shootouts for foes, your little hold up, I think my shoulder hit. Back. Don't think you can't get clear that where you living at. Fast, I put a nigga in a trick bag and send you to your mama gift wrap. That's where I'm at, we gon' kick your ass. How real is that? How real is that? Get him back. Yeah. Yeah. Feast or famine, I'm by the sea tanning. Female companion speaking Mandarin. To get a glimpse of me, the freaks are clamoring. I'm in Miami wearing your rent on a pair of kicks. And that depends on where you live. I'm thinking somewhere near the Calvin Klein underwear air. Fresh to death, they thought a nigga slept in Tupperware. It's the upper tier, it's for the puppeteers. Run your career with just the muscles in my hand. Might even push shit back, but I don't cut hair. Pair with the toes, melt just like a fucking butter square. You ain't nothing but a square, you bum, you just here sucking up air. My right hand stare like Thudder Man, I'm good money. Lil' buddy, I'm no Huggy Bear, I had you on Huggies. Just like the ones a pet monkey wear. Fuck outta here, you a college kid. You share no common thread, this shit Prada, not Diamond Brand. I'm just saying, no disrespect, this shit just costs a lot of bread. Get back. Don't think you can't get clear that where you living at. Fast, I put a nigga in a trick bag and send you to your mama gift wrap. That's where I'm at, we gon' kill your ass. How real is that? How real is that? Get him back.
Rock Marciano, he's back with a new project called Rosebud's Revenge. That track is of the same title, produced by Don C. There's a nice video for that as well. The album is his third official studio album. It's out right now. Hit up Rock Marci, rocmarci.com, and it's also available on all streaming services. But you know, you get all that good stuff right here first on FUBAR Radio every Monday 4 Damn. Till 6 PM. Are you a bit of a reggae head at all, Chew?
I'll be honest with you, I feel really bad now. I feel like I should lie, but I'm really bad at doing that as well.
No.
It's probably like one of my least favourite genres.
Reggae is one of your least favourite. How do you say that? Why do you say it? Like, as in you dislike reggae?
I mean, I've got maybe 10 to 15 minutes of dancing to it, and then I'm just like, it's just the same, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about if reggae is like here, where's techno? Like there?
What? It's, they're not.
You're a techno head?
They're not far off for me. I know. I'm not trying to.
This is incredible. Because that's one of the things that I find amazing about reggae. Like when you think reggae just from such a small niche movement has literally infiltrated every country on earth.
True.
Like, there's not a place that you go to and you
that's
don't find
very
reggae
true.
Music has had some kind of impact. And last week, I got the chance to speak to Junior Marvin, who's one of the Wailers.
Don't get me wrong.
The group, but you know, played with Bob Marley. Bob Marley and the Wailers come, and I know you guys have heard them. And it was just amazing for me to speak to him. I'm a massive fan of, because to me, I think you have acts and brands and you have artists.
Okay.
And, you know, an artist has a position in society that, you know, with great power comes responsibility. And so really it's your duty to, like, use the platform that you have as an artist to, you know, do something for the people, give back to the people. Like, you are, your duty is to serve the people. And to me, someone like Bob Marley, they encapsulate so much of that. You know, it's not just about making loads of money, which, of course, he's had, like, incredible international success, like, over the decades. And Junior Marvin, he was called up on Valentine's Day in 1977, and he was asked on that same date whether he would go and play for Stevie Wonder.
Insane.
In Stevie Wonder's band or in Bob Marley's band.
Wow.
And so on that day, in Valentine's Day 1977, he had to make the choice, and so he ended up joining Bob Marley and on the Wailers.
Wow.
And his first recording with Bob Marley was the Exodus album, which, you know, many people say, including Time Magazine, it's named the best album of the 20th century.
Okay.
So it's pretty pretty incredible.
Just,
but last week, what were you saying?
Did you ever listen to the Stevie Wonder and Bob Marley concert? They did like a gig, like a concert together. Like, obviously.
No.
Okay, I'll hunt it down, because if you haven't heard, I haven't really got much to add to it. Really,
I'd be fascinated.
That's what I mean. It's just an interesting thing. But yeah, I think you'll dig it.
What, they were playing together?
Yeah, playing together.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I definitely need to know about that. So you see, you get all those jewels here on the show. But last week, I got to speak with Junior Marvin of the Wailers, and it was just like an amazing moment for me to be able to just hear all these stories from him firsthand of speaking, of working with Bob Marley, in my opinion, one of the greatest artists that we've had of the 20th century, 20th century too. So here it is. This is when I caught up with Junior Marvin of the Wailers. It's FUBAR Radio.
Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good afternoon.
This is Junior.
Good morning. This is Junior Marvin.
Oh, hello. My name's Sarah Love. It's so lovely to meet you over the phone, at the least. It'd be nice to be...
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
It'd be nice to be talking to you face to face, but I'll settle for this.
All right, maybe possible.
Yes, we're going to make this happen. We're going to bring the universe together and make it happen. And it's so lovely to meet you. Where in the world are you right now?
I'm in Alexandria, Virginia, which is about 10 minutes from Washington, D.C.
And are you based in the States permanently now?
Well, yeah, I've been here for the last 12 years or so. I have a teenage daughter here.
Yeah,
and she's got chains around my ankles.
That's what you signed up for. That's what you signed up for. But it's so,
no, I'm joking.
No. That's what they all say. But no, there's so much that I want to cover, and I haven't got enough time with you. This is why we're going to have to bring the link up again sometime in the future. But I wanted to start right from the beginning, because I mean, your resume, as Americans say, your CV is just incredible. The list of names of legendary artists that you've worked with, but you know, and starting with Bob Marley too and everything. But first, I want to know, like, when was the first time you heard of this thing called reggae music?
Well, I was born in Jamaica, and I went to England when I was 9 years old. So I've always known about reggae through my parents and through my uncle. My uncle had his own sound system that used to do parties every weekend. And so I'd always hear the latest music from Jamaica, care of my uncle. And, of course, my mother and father, they loved to dance. So, you know, they had parties every week and every weekend. And I'd always hear Jamaican music around the house, you know.
Mm. And then you were also a musician yourself, which is obviously what introduced you to becoming part of the Wailers. Tell me about how that link-up started with Bob Marley, yourself, and the Wailers.
Well, when I was 2 years old, my grand-aunt in Jamaica started myself and all my cousins and my sister on piano. So I started learning music from when I was very, you know, before I could even talk properly. And then when I came to England, my father played jazz piano, so you know, I learned from him, and also at school, I learned classical music in a British school system. And I got into rock and roll with my school friends. I formed a band with a lady called Linda Lewis, if you heard of her.
Yeah.
We had a band called White Rabbit, and we named our band after Jefferson Airplane and a song that was written by Grace Slick. And we toured around while we were teenagers, and then she became a big star in her own right. And I met the group called Traffic, Steve Winwood and Chris Wood and Jim Capaldi, and they introduced me to Chris Blackwell and Eric Clapton and everybody, and I was very lucky to meet all these great people, great musicians in London. And at the same time, I was also a child actor, so I used to do TV shows like The Saint, Danger Man. I was in Hair, the musical, and did a lot of little parts on TV and little parts in movies, but I figured singing and playing guitar was a better deal for me, and I could make more money doing that because there weren't really many parts for black actors when I was growing up in England.
I mean, still at this point, and you know, so, 2017, there still ain't many parts for black actors, you know?
Yeah, but they're doing a lot better now. They're actually winning things.
Yeah, as we saw last night.
They're winning Emmys and Oscars. And
it's true, but I appreciate so much is like this grassroots movement that, and that's the wonderful thing about London and getting to grow up in a city like London, is this is a meeting point of so many different creative forces.
Exactly.
And it's just like a melting
pot. That's why I love growing up in London, yeah. Definitely. And I love growing up in London because I met so many people from all over the planet. You know, it was amazing.
Exactly. And then obviously, like, reggae is such a massive part of, I mean, London plays a big part in reggae history, and history plays a big part in London history.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, reggae plays a big part in London history, too.
Well, Jamaica was part of the British Commonwealth. And of course, you know, when a lot of West Indians and Africans and, you know, people from the Commonwealth came to the UK, it was like, well, we own you. Plus, we own your music. No, but in fact, they shared the music because a lot of the English kids got into like ska and blue beat and rocksteady, you know, all the things that reggae was called before it was called reggae. And so they grew up with it, and their parents knew it. Whoever were able to travel were, you know, got into it. And then, of course, the punk movement got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, there was a lot of ska bands in England. And then the Police used to play reggae before. Well, you know,
Police,
a little bit
bands,
of reggae in their music.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And it became very, very popular very quickly in the UK because we went to school with each other and we'd go to each other's houses and hear the music. You know, and eat the food.
Yeah.
And look at the pictures and say, oh, great, I like this.
But this is what I find
so beautiful exchange,
Definitely. And this is what I am so appreciative of and what I find so remarkable about reggae music. I mean, when you think of how tiny Jamaica is as a country. I mean, it's a dot on the map, you know, but how this music has just infiltrated the world. I mean, there's not many countries you go in the world where they're not familiar with the sound of reggae or they've not heard of Bob Marley, for example. And some of those Bob Marley albums, these are some of the most important contributions to 20th century pop music. Like, what was your involvement? I believe you played on like Exodus and a number of Bob Marley albums, is that correct?
Yeah, Exodus was my first, and I played on all the albums after that.
Incredible.
But I think that in Jamaica, the only way you could move forward if you, you know, were career-minded or if you were looking for an opportunity to better your life, music was one of the few opportunities that they had, you know.
Mm.
The school system was very good, being British, but the facilities were limited. And so if you wanted to achieve, you have to go into sports or go into music, you know, and there wasn't enough on the, you know, the educational side where you could become a lawyer, you become an accountant or an architect. The facilities weren't there to satisfy those needs, and the academics were not there in terms of, you know, the amount of teachers that we had and good schools that we had and proper housing for these kids at school. So they all went into music because they could travel, they could meet people, and it wasn't so difficult to make a record, you know, and have an opportunity. So it became like some countries use boxing, some countries use basketball. We use music, you know, that was our thing to get better ourselves and further ourselves and travel around the world and, you know, have that life that we all deserve.
And the power so of music is was, immense, you know, really. And it's, you're able to connect with people. It's a universal language. So what a wonderful gift to the world to be able to be part of some of these recordings that are a soundtrack to people's lives. What was it like in those recording sessions, though? Because to me, as a music fan, like, I've always loved the production done on records like Exodus. You know, when you're listening to them, it feels like you're hearing a moment in time.
Right, because Bob had a very hard time when he started out. You know, he had to work really hard in Jamaica to be able to go in the studio. Yeah. And so when he got the opportunity through Chris Blackwell and we were able to have a studio 24/7, it was like we were like on cloud nine. We were like in the universe. We were like not even in this planet anymore, you know. And so we could take time and get things right and go over it, and Bob could go back and re-record some of the songs that he wasn't happy with the production with. And we had like great people around us. Like, we had the guitar tech from Jimi Hendrix, who came and did all our guitars for us and made sure everything was perfect. You know, our keyboard player got the same equipment like Stevie Wonder and Herbie Hancock, you know, because we could afford it.
Dope.
And it made a difference, you know, having the right equipment, having the right facilities, having the right people around to help us. On the technical side, like, we had some of the best engineers on the planet. You know, we had Alex Atkin, who did Duran Duran, and he did Rational Vibration. He did Survival, Uprising. You know, we had Dennis Thompson, another great engineer, who's Jamaican but lives in New York, and Carl Pearson, who also did Steel Pulse. And we had great people around us. You know, everybody contributed very well. And Chris Blackwell was very, very smart and really helpful to make sure we had what we needed to get the best out of us, you know.
Incredible.
And everything clicked and everybody was very sympathetic with each other's ideas, and we shared ideas and collaborated, and nobody got upset or jealous or using my idea or instead of his idea or whatever.
That's
it was
wonderful.
Nothing like that. It was like a team effort, you know.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful for me to... Not only that, it had a spiritual side to it as well.
That's what I was
saying. So that made
it
even more, you know? Yeah, Bob's music, not just money-making, it's also a message for everyone on the planet, you know?
Definitely.
And he took it on, like, he said, listen, my father's white, my mother's black, it's my job to bring everybody together. And I'm going to do it with my music.
It makes me so happy.
And he did it. He did it.
I know. And that's
is
why I always hold Bob Marley up as an example of what true artistry is. Because, I mean, not only is Marley, you know, it's a massive international brand, just the image of his face. But, you know, even digging beyond that, it's like there's food for thought that you get from his music on a spiritual level, on a social level, political, everything. I mean, Nelson Mandela, another icon to me at the 20th century, he said, politics can be strengthened by music, but music has a potency that defies politics. And then I just think that was so summed up in what Bob Marley did, like uniting a country, like through his music at that One Love Peace concert. Were you at the One Love Peace concert?
Exactly. That was, can you believe this? That was my first concert in Jamaica, the country that I was born in. That was my first concert. I could not believe it.
You're going to make me cry.
I still don't believe it.
Oh, my God. What was that moment like?
I'll tell you something else.
Tell me something else.
Amazing. But the other thing is, I'm also maybe the biggest fan of Nelson Mandela on the planet.
Oh, no, you're not. I am.
So, I am.
Okay. I'm South African, so that
I'll
gives me even
for that
more.
One.
Yeah, no. I know.
I'll challenge you on that one.
Oh, no.
Well, I have to meet you now for sure.
Oh, definitely.
But listen, being at the One Love Peace concert was like more bringing all the politicians together and the people and say, listen, you know, we don't need to fight over politics. We don't need to kill each other over politics. We need to unite and do the right thing. And everyone listened to it. And it was amazing that people listened and tried to act on it, you know, which is a feat within itself.
It's just wonderful for me. The problem that I have with Bob Marley, though, is that now it makes it tough for me to tolerate certain acts who are out these days, because I feel like you've got this massive worldwide platform. And what are you using that for other than self-promotion and making money for yourself to get a Mercedes, you know? And Bob Marley used that platform on the world stage to bring attention to the struggle that was happening in Jamaica and for black people globally.
Well, Bob Marley said in one of his songs, one cocoa fills the basket. So if we all do a little bit to help those who need help, whether it's for food, for water, for education, for infrastructure, for housing, for educating yourself, living in a better way, you know, we just do our little part, and it all makes the whole thing better, you know?
Yeah.
We can't do everything, but we can do our part, and no matter how small it is, it's important, and it does make a difference.
Definitely.
You know, if you can just help somebody across the street,
that's your duty.
That makes a big difference.
Exactly.
You can break your sandwich in half and give somebody half on the road who's starving.
Mm-hmm.
That helps, you know.
Definitely.
And if you even just talk about it, just talk about, you know, what needs to be changed, and eventually people will listen.
Mm-hmm. And just the power of music. I have my dad, he was lucky enough to meet Bob Marley, which I know, like, you obviously knew Marley, but to him, and he got to interview him for the BBC. Sadly, he lost the tapes for it, so we don't have the recording anymore.
I'll find that somewhere.
I know, that's like my mission. Like, we've got to track this down. But, and he also in the same year got to go to the Bob Marley concert in London at Hammersmith Odeon. I think this was in 1979, and he said he was getting really annoyed because it was like an hour and a half running late, and then as soon as Bob Marley and the Wailers came on stage and started playing, everything was forgiven within seconds, because it was just the power.
But I tell you something, that must have been the only concert that Bob was late, because he hated being late for anything. You know, he would actually get mad if he was late, and he would be the first one at rehearsals, the last one to leave, the first one on the bus. He was very disciplined with time, so it must have been something out of his control, because he is a very determined person when it comes to work. He's a workaholic, and he hates being late, you know. And so I can't imagine us being late for a show, because it's like, the way he's late for a show, no way. But so that must have been one incident that, I don't even remember that, being late. Because we were never late. I guess it happened, and, you know, please forgive us.
I'm being cut short with my time with you. I'm getting the feeling you and I could probably keep speaking for the rest of the day. And maybe
come to the concert, please.
I definitely will. But give me one single most memorable moment for you of being part of the Wailers and part of Bob Marley and the Wailers. Just pick one single memory that just resonates for you deeply.
Well, after my first show in Paris, Bob slapped me 5, and I was there, okay, thanks. Thanks, God, I got it.
That's...
He was happy with my performance on the first show, so
That
made a big difference to me, you know?
The ultimate props. And tell me about that, you're going to be in the UK soon as well, so you're doing a pretty epic-looking tour.
Yeah, we start off in Scotland on the 8th, and then we come down south, you know, to Liverpool, all the major cities down to London. So anyone who wants to know, just go to thewailers.net and see the tour dates, and we're looking forward to you. This is going to be a very historic, because for the Wailers, it's proving Bob's legacy that we can unite and come together no matter what goes down, you know, because we had a lot of problems when Bob passed, but the band is, you know, put it aside, and we're uniting so we can perform Bob's music for the people and for the world.
The world needs that, because don't you think there is still a role for music in the socio-political sphere? Like, there is a role that we can contribute.
Most definitely.
And right now it's kind of
crazy.
Especially
now,
times.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's so wonderful.
But we're gonna make it right.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice talking to you, I look forward to meeting you at the show.
Yes, definitely. I really look forward to it as well. My name's Sarah Love, so when I come and say hi to you, you'll remember that it's me who is bending your
ear. I will remember the name Sarah. That's one of my favourite names.
Sarah.
I'll tell you why later.
Yeah, there's a reggae song, Sarah, too. Lots of love, and have a great start to the tour.
One love.
classic certified iconic music. That's Bob Marley, Exodus, taken from the 1977 album that was recorded in London as well, and played a massive part in like projecting Marley into the international levels of stardom and everything. And that was me just talking with Junior Marvin of the Wailers, who played on the Exodus album and every album with Bob Marley after that as well. If you missed that interview, hit up foobarradio.com/shows/hiphop. You can listen back to that and all of our past shows up there. And then there's a lot of good guests to check in with. Like last week, we had OC and DITC on the show. The week before that, we brought you Love for Mess. Last week as well, we had a live performance from Tony D and Locksmith.
That was dope.
That was very, very cool. And in a minute, we're going to have another special performance for you as well, live in the studio from our special guest, Strange You. But before that, we need to let you know about a bunch of parties that are happening this Wednesday, as well as the Wailers. They're on a UK tour throughout March, so definitely check them out. It's going to be super fresh. And on the 8th of March, you've got an Italian hip hop takeover happening at Brixton
Forza
Jam.
Forza Italia, ciao ragazzi italiani.
Ciao! And 9th of March, Digger's Dozen are back at Joyeux Bordel. And De La Soul are in the UK at the moment. Norwich. The 8th.
The hip hop capital.
Yes, the world's. The centre of the hip hop world on the 8th of March, and they're at the Roundhouse on the 10th. And on 11th of March, you've got Odyssey in town. He's at Islington Assembly, and Amp Fiddler is live as well on the 11th of March at XOYO.
And 8th of March, you got, was it Jimmy Chu playing as well, aren't they? Rolling Stock. Yeah, I've got a gig with my boy, Jimmy Logic. We go by the name Jimmy Chu. So come down, Rolling Stock, up in Shoreditch Ways Wednesday.
The height of trendiness, Shoreditch.
That's right.
That's how you roll.
That's pretty late, eh?
And also, on the 10th of March, you've got Jam Baxter album launch party. That's happening at Concord 2 in Brighton. He's going to be joined by Flip Trix, Leaf Dog, Verb T, and our special guests who are live in the studio with us right now. They're performing too at that night. It's Strange You. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up?
It's lovely to hear your voices. It's been a lot of hard work for me to convince you to come and visit me here.
Yeah, if it was easy, where would be the fun in that? You know what I mean?
You like to like treat me keen and keen.
Of course.
Yeah,
course.
That's the technique.
Nothing to do with my inadequacy or or lack of organisation at all.
No, because it's totally professional outfit that's happening
100%,
here. 100%. And I've got to say that I am quite pleased to see that you turned up in full regalia and everything.
I wear this all the time, basically.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to bed, when I wake up, when I'm in the shower. All the time, you know what I mean? You gotta live it, man. You can't you can't just put it on when it's time to go. You gotta live it,
innit? Okay? You gotta be about that lifestyle, and that's the voice of one and only Kashmir, one half of Strange You.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also people don't often get to hear your voice without crazy effects
for good reason.
Yeah. As you can hear, it's just completely boring and monotone. Yeah.
Don't say that.
No. But usually I wear a lizard mask.
I know. Yeah. I've got to say, I was about to kick you out of the studio when you turned up. Like, it's this is not what I signed up for.
It's impractical.
He's got the lizard. He's got the lizard face, he's got the lizard hands as well.
Yeah,
but it's difficult to press the buttons, and it's difficult to hit the space bar when you're when you've got the hands.
I said we're doing this live, but basically all I do is press the space bar. David Guetta.
Yeah,
very
standard. Yeah. Is he your that's your?
He's my idol.
David Guetta. That's where all your inspiration comes from. But where is it also from? David Guetta, the Get Up.
Smash.
I'm hanging up my headphones. Getting into MCing.
That's good stuff.
No, but is that is it David Guetta that the inspiration for your presentation comes from?
Actually, my inspiration for this is actually the Ultimate Warrior. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'm a
massive Ultimate Warrior fan. I've got to channel the gods. Do you know what I mean? It's like one day I was like, I think I was watching one of these Ultimate Warrior, like, because you know they do compilations of his like crazy. He has all this crazy in between match, like sort of like banter where he's just like talking about how the gods have told him to do all this stuff. So I thought, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Working?
It's kind of working.
Which gods are you channeling?
I don't know, man. I'm pretty not sure yet, but I'm not even sure if they're gods, you know what I mean? It could just be the voices in my head.
Celestial beings.
Yeah. Man, you need to quit the drugs, man.
It's true. Just yeah.
Hand them over. We'll make sure you don't do any today.
Cool. Yeah.
Keep
it you keep them safe, yeah? Yeah. Just.
Yeah. No, but it's nice to see your faces as well. Mm. You know?
Yeah. I wouldn't have said that.
I've got to tell it, because the other week I came through to your album launch party, because you guys have just put out an album, which only until I got to the launch party did I know that it was LP 4080. Yeah. It's not 4080 or 4080.
You can say it in any way you like. Actually, the most correct way of saying it is probably 4080. Yeah.
Okay.
But we say 4080 because our last EP was 2040. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's so, deep.
Continuity. Yes. You see? the genius minds that strange you. Ideas galore.
I was also surprised. I was relieved to finally hear how you call your album LP 4080. Mm. And also that you were showing your faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
a brave move.
It was a tough choice, but had to be done, man. That flip trick's right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. He seems like a calm guy, but
he cracks the whip.
Yeah,
telling you.
No, but I also have to tell you how there was a young lady at the Strange You album launch party who was just like, "Oh my god, I just love Kashmir's teeth."
Wow.
Well, that's absolutely 100% normal thing to say.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot, and. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, can we get a little
No, that's all right. I think I'll save that one for later.
Okay, yeah. No, because I think you've got the same characteristic as Pharaoh Munch, haven't you?
Right, right.
That's got a name, the thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's called...
It's called fuck.
It's called It's called hot.
It's called goddamn. You should have worn braces when you were a kid.
No, you know it's not. No, but this girl was saying it was specifically your teeth why she thought you were hot.
That's interesting, man. That's very, very interesting.
I don't know where would you go with that. If she actually did tell you, you're Kashmir, aren't you?
Yeah.
I love your teeth.
I'd be like, cool. Okay, let me. You know, give me a second while I just remove my dentures and place them in the palm of your hands. Do you know what I'm saying?
How do you like them now?
Yeah, exactly.
What about the music?
Yeah.
You know
you should have turned around to her and said, "What about the music, fam?" Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Unless she said beats. She could have been saying beats.
It's true.
But in all fairness, she was there for the music primarily. But yeah, I did note that she was pretty mesmerised by your smile. So,
man. If you're listening, I really want to know.
You've got a bask in your how these lady fans.
I don't know if I can.
You're not ready for that. Oh, the mask gonna come back.
I didn't know Strange You lady fans even existed.
Yeah. Well, there's one here. I didn't know there was any more other than me. I thought I was the only one.
You learn something new every day, man. Do you know what I'm saying?
But this is what the world that you're signing up for now, guys. That you're becoming superstar rap. Heroes.
Actually, we're breaking up after this album. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Great.
It's too stressful, man. So I just thought, you know what? I'm not having
all the female attention.
Yeah, and just working with this guy is just no fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, but how did you guys form though? When did you first work together?
2005, I think.
It's for your album, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We did. I did a track for his album, Beats to Make You Frown. I did two tunes for that, didn't I?
Mm.
Yeah, it was the Trojan and something else. Yeah, can't remember what it was called. Mm. But yeah, as far as back as then, man. You know I mean, in fact, Verb T actually introduced me to these guys.
I think I did remember that, yes. Mm. Wow. See, Verb T, he's like the Kevin Bacon of hip-hop, isn't
it? That's what I'm saying, he's the guy.
Like linking everyone.
He's the guy, Verb Tarantula.
No, but I'm feeling as well that you guys are just taking things off in your own direction sonically.
Mm. Mm. Well, I mean, it's sort of like an ongoing thing. So obviously I did the tunes with him for his album. But then later on, we sort of hooked up again to do a track that ended up on Raiders of the Lost Archives, The Nightmare. Mm. And we did Drunken Style as well, didn't we? Yeah. So we've been working for a while. And then after that was obviously Galactus and things like that. Do you know
me
what I'm
and Jazz T did an album with him in 2010.
Yeah.
That's years ago now. It's crazy, isn't it? To me in my mind, 2010 is just a couple of years ago. Hold up.
We recorded that though in like 2008 though, isn't it?
Yeah,
2008, 2009.
Because he went crazy in the interim.
That's right. So, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Trying to get him to finish adoration.
For real. It drove me so insane that, I had this thing about calculators. So I just sewed a bunch of calculators all over my body.
Nice.
Right, including my face.
Mm, oh, do you know what I'm saying? But we need to see your pretty face.
Just to know the math.
What's that, sir?
Is that to know the math?
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mathematics, man.
Did I remember saying Speak and Spell was involved in that? Oh, no, that was the it's purely maths.
He used to speak through that. He didn't used to talk. Everything he said.
New types on the calculator.
It was actually pretty cool, but it just took up too much time.
I do remember those days, and that was high tech when you could write Shell Oil on the calculator.
I'm still writing boobies on calculators. You've got boobless. Boobless is that's advanced, man. That's advanced. That's
Chinese, man. My parents are on my case, man. I have to be on it, man.
And so what are people can expect from the new album then?
This one?
Yeah. Right. Is it a continuation of the same,
just more whackness, do you know what I'm saying? Just more terrible beats, terrible rhymes, do you know what I'm saying? No, I mean, it is really just a continuation of what, we've been doing. I mean, the thing about Strange You, when we first decided we was going to do, things as a unit, I'd actually just come off the back of spending about 2 years not doing music at all, kind of thing, and but he was always still sending me beats and stuff like that, and I've always dug his beats, but he was sending me beats that he was doing on his own. So normally it's a Jazz T and Dr. Zygote thing, but he was sending me beats that he was doing himself, and it kind of resonated with me, because kind of we was on the same wavelength at the same time, sort of thing. So, it just kind of made me start writing again, actually. Wow. It was him and my boy Crossbone T. They were just sending me stuff. Wow. And and then initially, it wasn't even supposed to be like a unit thing as such. It was I was taking it on a tune by tune basis. So it was I'd get a beat, I think it was dope, I'd write to it, and then I put some visuals to it, and then just upload it to YouTube, move on to the next tune. I wasn't even thinking about collating anything together at all. And then I think we got to about 3 or 4 tunes.
Yeah.
Started speaking to to Alex Nutt, because actually I saw Alex Nutt at Outlook Festival one time.
Yeah.
So I'd known him for a little while anyway, but I saw him at Outlook Festival, and he was telling me about his label. I didn't know, because last time I spoke to him, actually, he was working at Zonked. You know that company, that PR?
Mm-hmm.
Zonked. So, so he's like, hey,
me for years.
For real. Yeah. So,
no, that means you're doing a good job in that industry. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, harassment. No doubt. Yeah. But he was.
Positive
on Zonked. You know what I mean? But, so he was, so he told me, I'm running this label, Eglo. I've been doing this for a few years. It's all good. I'd love to put out something with you. But at the time when I spoke to him, I didn't really have anything. But once we got a bunch of tunes together, just stepped to him and it was all good. He was like, yeah, I'll do this. I'll put this out tomorrow. I was like, oh, cool.
Fantastic. So it's all thanks to you, really, for staying on his case and harassing him with beats.
Yeah.
No one else got back to him, did?
Yeah, that's right. I was to people, please.
Yeah.
No, but where are you from originally, Zygo?
Egypt.
You're Egyptian, born and raised in Egypt. Yeah, whereabouts in Egypt?
I'm from Guildford.
Little further from Egypt.
Yeah.
Not far.
Via Egypt.
Yeah.
And he's actually born in a pyramid, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you need to perpetuate these nice stories. They go along well with the Strange You. See, I'm loving even all the branding and everything too. I want the Strange You jumper.
Obviously.
Where's Almost to sort of advertise you?
Well, we weren't sure. We had to sound you out, because obviously we are champions of the Illuminati. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously, you need to challenge my Stiggy on that.
So we just wanted to see if you guys were down with the whole secret society business.
Yeah.
Once we establish that, then we can say, okay, these guys can have some merch. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'll earn my stripes, then we can do a Strange Chew.
Okay, sick.
Oh.
Sick. Sick.
This is
Pun City out here.
I actually want to get a picture with the Ultimate Warrior.
Helmet. You sure about that? You sure about that?
With the helmet.
Currently.
With your helmet.
It would look good with my hair, I reckon.
It would,
your
but
helmet
the thing
would
is
look good with hair. Just want to clarify.
Stop it, Chew!
Sorry.
Get out!
No, but the thing is, I'm wearing this looking calm and everything, but right now I'm in severe pain. Right now, because
but that doesn't matter.
This thing is digging into my skull right now. Do you know
it
what I'm saying?
It looks good.
Do you know what my mum used to say to us when we were little, doing brushing our hair?
Mm.
She'd say, and we'd complain, it hurts, mummy, no.
Yeah.
you must go through pain to be beautiful. So anytime you're complaining about having to wear the get up, just remember that you must go through, but you're naturally beautiful anyway.
I'll just tell myself I'm beautiful.
As the Lady Strange G fans say.
That's it, with the teeth. And all of that,
man. There's a lot of love coming your way. From
no, it's in general. But I'm just passing on the information because I think it's important that you know. I'm sure there were some ladies in the audience.
Have you been carrying a torch?
For Strange's music.
Is it the Olympics yet? Sorry, man.
No, and so I don't want you to feel left out, Zygo. I'm sure there were lots of ladies there who were like, they were digging the space bar skills as well in the show.
Thanks.
They were admiring that. But you guys are going to perform a track for us. But before that, I want to play a track off of your album.
Cool.
And this is Terminator Funk. I've been enjoying this very much.
Fantastic, man.
Where was it like? Is there some kind of place that these song titles are coming from or song concepts coming from?
To be honest, I just, you know, a lot of the titles come off the back of what the beat sounds like to me anyway. Do you know what I mean? Or to us, basically. And to me, this just sounded like what the T-1000 would be listening to on his downtime. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Terminator Funk. He actually wanted to spell it with an O.
But I vetoed that.
Really? It would have been better, man. Terminator Funk.
And then that's like hip hop spelling.
Exactly, man.
See, in general, on this show, we only allow people with hip hop spelling.
I'm a stickler for correct spelling and grammar.
Exactly. So, apostrophes, all that kind of stuff. I'm into that too.
It's not very hip hop, though.
But we're making it hip hop.
Yeah.
We're changing the script.
Thank you.
But in a second, you guys are going to give it. We've got like equipment and everything set up in the studio. So if you want to see Zygo, space bar skills, that's going to be coming up very soon.
I thought you was going to say if you want to see Zygote's equipment. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think anyone wants to see that.
No, you guys are filthy.
No one needs to see that.
Exactly, man. Jeez.
It's only for the special fans.
Yeah.
That's right. But so hold tight. This is Food Bar Radio. Coming up in a second, we have Strange U Live in the studio.
It's over 9,000!
What, 9,000? There's no way that can be right.
Yo, as the platter spins round and around, turn the shit up, let it bop loud in the crowd. The unknown specimen with African cells, got everybody counting sheep straight snapping themselves. The soundboy burial's already begun. The game needs a funk rebirth, let it be done, son. One nation under a gun, under the thumb. Some of us know the time while the others get dumb. The Terminator Funk Executioner came from the future, power source nuclear. Funk spreading overseas and dry line. Chicks passing out like Jodeci and Life Band. Leveling the city when the bass hits. Old girl standing near the woofer caught a facelift. Free of charge from the villains at large. Thought it was a dream but the killers left scars. Got the funk banging out the speakers. Rare like Samuel hanging out with Jesus. Don't sweat the tech, the funk keeps banging. You will never rest your neck. This habitation was at the nation with the funk. Gamma ray brain activation. Creeping through the LDN area. God status, Franklin and Valeria. Candoria, Scornal, Andorian. Called a sanatorium ward of California. Blue ETs are in the audience. Came to the jam, pulling up in time, traveling DeLoreans. The zillion mind control monster. Demolishing the set with the iron cold doctor. Bassline coming from the Nephilim console. Raw drums coming from the Elohim drop zone. If life's really all about the Benjamins, we need to save the world, what's the medicine? Take a damn hit, lying like an invalid. Until the makers return in giant flying pyramids. In the meantime, turn it up loud until the 8-bit sprites start turning up around you. Let them into your life and give thanks while the universe laughs all the way to the bank.
Terminator Funk. Terminator Funk. Terminator Funk. Terminator Funk. Terminator Funk. Terminator Funk. Terminator Funk.
Yeah. Oh,
but I appreciated this part.
You're like a machine underneath, right?
That was like a
cybernetic organism, a living tissue over metal endoskeleton.
Me and my sister, those people who knew the script for Terminator 2.
Good like, stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's I appreciated hearing that on the record. That was the track from Strange You, Terminator Funk. It's from the album LP4080. I can confirm that is... Yes. One way of saying it. Yeah. And it is out now on High Focus. And we're joined by Strange You in the studio.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah.
And are you guys ready to rip and rhyme? And... Oh, oh.
Cool.
I'm hearing equipment. It's firing off.
Yeah, man.
And so, we've got... Wow. Mm. And we have Kashmir and Zygote, Dr. Zygote. Sorry, let's give you your full title. You guys ready to do this? And our cameras are set up, ready to roll. This is FUBAR Radio, bringing you all that good stuff first. I can't even wait. Let's do it. Punch.
Yeah. LP4080 out now. Can I get my headphones up a little bit, please? Yeah. Yo, yo. Vigo the Carpathian, bathing the lakes of radium, breaking them in. Angel of sin chasing the wind, God particle eater. Meet the farcical leader, sparking the trees up. Parking the V-dub, up on the curb like motherfucking superb swerve. Got your ovaries loving the curse words, opposable thumbs, opium blunt, smoke in the lungs, the loneliest monk, all up in your pulmonary trunk. Manufacture mechanical salamanders, but never fraternize with tyrannical salad handlers. My evil experiments are the genesis. You be needing a therapist by the end of this. He keeps it real like a teacher of funky science, while the others point and click like the secret of Monkey Island. Here he is, the gold star was nearly his. On the final leg, he was distracted by idiots. He's done it again, this time rocking the waves of death. Save your breath, the gator's head fled, blazing meth. Forget it, Curly. You had your chance and you blew it early. You saw me sinking in the sand and tried to do me dirty. Dr. Zygo. Hitting that space bar. Hard. Yo, the skies are falling, the life forming is isomorphic. The giant iron horseman absorbing the flying saucer. The mighty morphin, the Norseman, strive to define his calling. Teleport high in orbit and flying awkward, defining awesome. Vibranium shining ornaments. Dead in the water, the silent nautilus. Got him thinking about leaving the solar system. The human lust for destruction erupted a stomach symptom. He'll only miss the Simpsons. He could exist without wars and slaughtered citizens. You can keep your racism and fake religion. Continue on your day-to-day mission of Satanism. You're under fire from ultimate nullifiers. The audience didn't see the invisible puppet wires. The dream-weaving visionary Parks the Bentley. Behold, the Netherhead Garth Marenghi. Comparing notes with Jehovah's racketeers on vacation. Chilling on Amazonas Planetaire. Niggas is hungry. Time to take them out for lunch. Dr. Z with the... Dr. Zygote. Ooh, fancy. Yeah, LP4080. That tune was called Falcon Punch off our previous EP, EP 2040. Yo, can we do some 4080 stuff right now? Let's go.
Man, you're a fucking waste of space.
Thanks.
You come to interrupt us now. Sharing this
Yeah, keeping it whack.
But as Harry said, I'm not going to hold you.
Yo.
yo, yo, yo. Who the fuck is this? Spitting whack flows from the diaphragm, getting pimp slapped with an iron hand. Explore Venus with a small penis, all feverish, drowning out the pain, pouring leaf from itch. Eat a dick, said God when I prayed. Lord Satan said the same, it's a popular phrase. L's like a brother possessed, feel the stress from another regret. Watch porn, never under duress. Chronic masturbator, stupid to pathetic, I'm an honest graduator. A modest activator of frowns and all females. Turn them off quick, my dick's like a snail in my room, drinking shit liquor. In my school days, everybody thought I was a bitch, nigga. They knew I had the crap bars. I know I laugh pretty hard. I told them I'm a rap star. Behold God's practical joke, escaping life, getting buzzing off a maximal toke. In my room, getting twisted, listening to Ace of Base. Yeah, I'm a waste of space. I'm a waste of space. My teacher once told me I'm a waste of space. Look me up and down with the hate on his face. Trying to tell a kid he's a waste of space. He's a waste of space. My teacher once told me I'm a waste of space. Look me up and down with the hate on his face. Trying to tell a kid he's a waste of space. Drop the mic, I shouldn't be holding it. They're inappropriate, sedates crowds like an opiate. Holy shit, the party was raw, but when I rapped, everybody single filed out the door. Paul Bearer, gripping the urn, tried to save a stray cat, but it flipped me the bird. This ain't a Freddy mask, this is my face. I'm a loser, I might try living in space. Never been a popular guy, I was only trying to say hi. I got rocked in the eye, never ask me how the music is going. It's going terribly, think about quitting this shit, going therapy. Solomon Grundy, born on the Monday. Dead man walking, surviving all gun spray. Getting less respect than Mr. Dangerfield. The pain is real, I'm still with the training wheels. It's the catastrophic, the old one. Mr. Catatonic, if I'm honest, in my room getting twisted. Listening to Ace of Spades. Yeah, I'm a waste of space. I'm a waste of space. My teacher once told me I'm a waste of space. Look me up and down with the hate on his face. Trying to tell a kid he's a waste of space. I'm a waste of space. My teacher once told me I'm a waste of space. Look me up and down with the hate on his face. Trying to tell a kid he's a waste of space. Like this. LP4080 out now. Go get that. Shouts out to High Focus Records for being crazy enough to put out this album. FUBAR Radio, thanks for having us.
Anytime.
Dr. Z, press that space bar.
Crazy space bar skills.
Fuck you with the space bar, man.
Bro, you know it's the truth. Hating. You know it's the truth, yeah? You see that equipment over there, right?
If you say it again, yeah?
You see what happens now, yeah, is that there's all these lights going off, but none of them
it's
do
pure
anything.
Miming.
Yeah,
just
they don't do anything.
Miming.
Say it one
David
more time. Yeah. One more time, and I'm going to give you a.
Punch.
Cool, man.
Okay.
That's me told.
Done.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I love it. Oh, that was so much fun, almost as much fun as at the live show at the launch party. And you said that was based on a true story.
It was.
That a teacher
Shout out
called
to Mr. Price.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Price got sun today.
Shout out to Mr. Price.
That
Where
told
are
him.
You now?
That told him.
Yeah. We need to get the track to him.
Oh, definitely. You know, Mr. Price, a.k.a. the Bald Eagle. You know what I'm saying?
No, that was so much fun though, guys. And where can people track you down and like find all the music and everything? What's the information you want to share?
The Twitter is strange_you. Same thing with the Facebook.
Instagram is strange YOUNIVICE.
Yeah.
Strange universe, but you like.
Yeah,
wow, that's easy to remember.
Yeah, man.
It was taken.
Yeah. Someone was.
We need to track them down.
For sure.
Let's
man.
Take them out. Definitely. Take them out commission.
Yeah. I'm with that.
Track them down. And
Welcome.
That's what I'm saying.
And the album is out now, then, yeah?
It's out right now. Hit up Suspect Dash Packages. Shout out to Disorder. Or you can go straight to High Focus Records website. It's all there, man. So it's all in all the fancy places you can get music from.
Yes, but thank you so much for coming through
Thanks
today. Because it's been ages that I've been trying to get you here. And so finally,
it's all good.
We
it's
made
all good.
It. We
oh,
made
before,
it.
We, before we bounce,
yeah.
I got to say shout out to Bamboo Man and look out for our record coming out soon under the name Super God.
Okay. Mm.
Oh. Cool. Well, you know you better send that to me.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Can you wait to hear it? Thank you, Dr. Zygote and Cashmere. Strange cool. You that was performing right now. And yeah, maybe you guys can hang out for a little bit and keep the lights flashing next to the space bar and everything. Bar, because coming up next, we're going to be getting into the open mic right here on FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah Love. And I do still have my special co-host with me today,
Chewan McGregor.
So keep it locked. We've got open mic MC stepping into the studio next.
FUBAR Radio is proud to be an official partner of Stand and Calling 2017. This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage, Joe Collard from Hot Chip,
and Faithless. FUBAR Radio will be bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event. FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
Tell me what it is that you want that you don't have.
I'd like to just be more here all the time, and I'd like to see what I could get done. This is your life. This is the only one you got. As we always say to my own brother, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is your life.
Yes.
This is not a dress rehearsal. This is your life. Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, I was doing this. Thanks for asking me.
Oh.
I was born in a dream state with a clean slate. No concept of hate was embedded inside my DNA. The world gave my hard drive a virus with pre-installed software, but I'm a couple plus signs short of a minus. Do you like the beauty of flesh or a shiny diamond? Apple or an onion? Close your eyes while I hypnotize the side of your mind you've been hiding. It's not depression, it's oppression from oppression. Welcome to your first session. You was born an empty vessel in a world full of aggression. The type that bends pressures cutting lesson. Everyone at school was in a competition, from running races, fighting over girls with the prettiest faces. Can't see the countries on a map or even name the places, but already know all the words on how to be racist. I think you overanalyze, affecting your health. My advice, one life, take care of yourself, yo. The one life to live. 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 Negativity stands defiant like giants guarding doors in the future like you'll never be enough. You'll never get yourself up, you'll never be loved. You only deserve the worst. Ah, shut up, because I don't know, you can't take the pressure. Money is the root of all evil, don't let it stress you. Nah, money is the root to pure freedom. The positive vibes will leave you broke, get rid of them, you don't need them. Never sell yourself low, you are a king. No, you're not, you're just a poet, please don't listen to him. I mean yourself, same thing. Torn between fighters in the ring who eternally swing and never hear the ding. You can take long walks, but never escape your own thoughts. How many blessings in a 20-minute phone call? I ain't really got much advice to give. Forget the past, live now, like Jigga said, one life to live. But one life to live. But one life to live. But one life to live. One life to live. As we look through the windows of hopelessness, we realize happiness was right there in front of us. The screens can show a million dark days in a few seconds, but no more than the smiles in one photo. You are a vehicle of electricity, traveling towards your loved ones. The soul never dies. Those you lost might not be here right now, but believe me, they are there. They are there waiting with flowers. You see them in your dreams. Between mind and body is infinity. The heart is connected to the quantum world. Your sight is eternally inward, like walking through a liquid glass door. You will pass into the beauty of geometrical roller coasters, towards the purest of lights, emerge like bubbles in lava lamps. The one life to live. The one life to live. The one life to live. One life to live.
A doctor's mission should be not just to prevent death, but also to improve the quality of life. That's why you treat a disease, you win, you lose. you treat a person, I guarantee you'll win. Death is not the enemy, gentlemen. If we're going to fight a disease, let's fight one of the most terrible diseases of all, indifference.
Wow, deep. Wow. That was Scorsese. Brand new deep. Scorsese. Illa Sigmund is the name of that track. And it's taken from a brand new EP called Illa Scores. It's entirely produced by Scorsese himself. And it's out right now. Hit up Scores. That's scorz.co.uk. And we have to say happy birthday to Scorsese. I didn't mean to wish you a happy Scores Day last week. But yes, definitely check out that project, one of Nottingham's finest. And we were just hearing the sounds of Strange You performing live in the studio. That was lots of fun. So if you missed any of that, hit up foobarradio.com/shows/hiphop and you can listen back to that on the website. What? But right now it's that classic time of the show where we welcome some dope MCs into the studio. It's open mic time. How are you doing, guys? I want to welcome to the show Cilla B.
Yep.
Cilla B, am I pronouncing correctly?
Spot on.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Good.
Thank you for that.
That makes me happy. And King Skin.
Yes.
So hold on. Let me just clarify. Sorry for my lack of information. You're completely two separate entities.
Yeah.
Or you're not like a crew or anything.
No, we're separate.
You just met today, right?
Yeah, in the green room. Yeah, we just met in there. In that
okay,
room.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. But no, so tell me about yourself, King Skin.
I'm a rapper from Bristol, based in Easton in Bristol. I've been rapping for like a year or two. Haven't been taking it that serious, but it's getting more on it now. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and then so what? Like, have you come from a hip hop background? Like, what's your?
Yeah, I started off as a producer, so I've been producing for like over 5 years easily. Was writing a little bit as well, and then just got more into the writing, and took that on more as a main thing. And now I'm not producing anywhere near as much, focusing more on writing and spitting.
And what kind of hip hop artists have you checked for in the past?
Oh, are you asking for like people that I'm inspired by or like people that I rate?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. At the moment, I listening to a lot of like US stuff.
Okay.
But really, it's got to be the old 90s shit, man. It's got to be things like Nas, Jay-Z.
You almost felt like afraid to say it. It seemed like you were afraid to
it's
say
such,
it.
It's such a generic answer, but I just can't think of anything else right now.
I hope you can think of your raps, because I don't want you embarrassing yourself in the open mic. No pressure or anything.
Nah, that would be sound.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it will be. And because every MC who comes through here gets vetted first. With heavy vetting, like Trump style on this show. But we also have Cilla B in the studio. How are you, Cilla B?
Not too bad today, yeah.
Yeah, where do you come from originally?
Bristol as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
gosh, you say we're uniting people in the who live in the same city.
You guys aren't rivals, are you, in Bristol? We could be today.
I like it.
But still a bit like, so what's your background in music then? Like, how long have you been rapping for?
I've been writing for 2.5 years. I only started like putting stuff out about 5 months ago.
Okay.
It's going pretty well so far. A couple bits on radio here and there. Yeah, it's pretty good.
And then like music wise, like what have you listened to in the past that's like shaped your hip hop listening?
A lot of everything.
Any UK cats?
Yeah, a lot of High Focus stuff. Mess with Verb T heavily.
Yeah, have you listened to any of the Strange U stuff?
Not that much, but after listening to that, I definitely will be. Yeah.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! We're doing a good job here on the show.
You like Cashmere's Teeth as well, yeah?
That's a lady, Abby. Were you fit? Did you check out Cashmere's Teeth? Abby's our lovely producer on the show. She's like, Sarah, don't try and make me talk. You can verify that Cashmere had good teeth. Yeah.
I can't believe the legs the teeth has had, man. That's crazy.
But right now, it's about rapping skills. So, are you guys ready to do this?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah?
Word.
Yeah. And this week we have a beat courtesy of the producer Jigga Jibba. Remember, if you want to take part in the open mic, it's hiphop@foobarradio.com. We want to hear from you. Are you guys all hooked up, ready to shoot this? Are you guys ready with the raps? Let's turn that beat up. And it goes a little something like this.
This is proper like popping off at a copper's top. This ain't popular dropping off at a hotter spot. This ain't shopping or watching and pick another plot. This is Bristol chopping crop till the sun stops. I seen a couple snakes slide and sliver, and I seen a few lives sucked straight from the mirror. I seen guys quiver when their lives get realer. I've told lines thinner than threads tied together, but I'm still laughing. Maybe I'm just past it. Can't be arsed with that dancing in the dark shit. With that dancing in the dark shit. Look, yo. Sitting at the keys like I'm Bill Evans. Why you stressing? I'm blessed past the message. I've been back and bent it like Beck's bars. I'm setting and I've been that present. I'm back past the lettuce. I'm living reckless, still got nothing good to chat about. Like little freshmen running off their fucking mouths. I've been about and I'm still about. I love the sound that I'm putting out. Proper sure-footed style. I've been writing for a hot minute. Past the spinach, I'm in it, tip to win it. I'm a bin bag villain and I'm big sack billing. And I'm making words rhyme while I'm still sat chilling. I seen that vision, I seen lives drifting. I don't give a fuck for a or a vixen. Enough time miss shit, work enough stick shifts. I've been addicted to drifting off spit.
King Skin, it's the open mic, Silla B.
Check, catch the next one. Yo. I write bars in my pad for the mic stand. Other rappers write on toilet paper for my ass crack. Greedy for the mic, ain't nobody as full as him. Munching all these rappers, now I'm constipated, full of shit on my sticky. Watch his eyes lighten when the mic with me like Mike Tyson. When he fight gritty, how I got the ears in my mouth, you feel me? Feel me or not? Everyone's thinking they're hard, but they're ever so soft. And it's been fucking me off, like to be honest, are we really on par? Dinner menu's out, rappers come and pick your course. Bet you choose the magic mushrooms cause you need that food for thought. Fitting cause you're always chatting about some shit you never saw. Mad cause I'm debating these hallucinations you enforce. Why you lying for? Clamp down like a lion's jaw. Clamp down like a nitty does when he sees a man supplying drawers. Clamp down like I do when a bailiff stop banging doors. Clamp down like my teeth when they act like I'm amateur. Work on my wordplay, you dumb fam, I run this. Hold your criticism if there's nothing you construct. It must be moving like a bowcat cause these pussies got a munching eye. Tell a rapper hold this L, like limited lyricists listen with livingness, living with limits to lyrics that are literally limping them little linguists. Living like livestock, listeners listen. So I'm lifting limbs from ligaments through lyrical lynching. About work on wordplay, got another 25 letters to get you. Merc mate, test me. Go on, tempt me, please. I'm watching TV with your mum, drinking Tetley tea. Switch the beat, I'll still hit it so technically. Bring 10 guys and you still won't be a tenth of me. Still above these rappers if I dug 10 feet deep. Caress the beat so motherfucking tenderly. These other rappers like, can you stop the tense, my G? I wanna speak, so fuck it, King, have the beat. Peace.
Yeah. Fucking fire.
I got the angel on my right shoulder, devil on the left. It's a shame in one ear I'm completely deaf. So what's next? More lines, I talk like a tall shite. Walk by the porch light, pulling on the horse tights. I'm playing, never chased Yatty. I got chased down the alley, no time to chase Batty. But my mind went, major mind strength. Major mind wet, like raining climates. Yo. From BS5 to my back room, we made some mad tunes, the crew always pass through. I need a hard zoot, some food and I'm like Archer busting shots till I can't move. I need to ask you, a pocket full of parcels. I break metacarpal, swinging with my arms full. I was a rascal, asshole, pissing up the castle. I need to burn while I bar truth. They said I was hot, well it's time to pop shots. You could say that I'm not, well I get to busting off. They said, Len, you're hot and you're on the top spot. I said I am, but I'm not, so let's get to busting off. They said, Lenny, your bars are like cold meals. Yo.
Okay. King Skin.
Yo. On the mic, I'm an abusive mother. Gonna smother all these MCs with a fruity rubber. Cause I'm soon to fuck the game with these hefty lyrics. You man have finished, check the writtens, these guys play on gimmicks. So don't lie about your gas like Volkswagen. Got folks hanging on my words like a noose cracking. Check your word playing in the worst way, it fucking stank. Let's be frank, your bars are empty like a nitty's bank. And your flow reeks of death. Every rhyme projects the limit of your intellect. Syllables small like when you get erect. In retrospect, I wish I'd severed heads. So tell a friend I'm ending them. This pen has bled to fracture frets from plastic men. Manufactured and satisfaction to violent actions. Turning rhyming into an interaction, a pure distraction to turn the masses, so I point this at the spark reaction. But it got your brain undergoing liquefaction. Peep the imagery. My multi-syllables and similes will get you severed swiftly in a symphony. Simmer symbol serpent stunting like the fucking centerpiece. Like, bruv, your sentences are extra cheap. Who's this kid? Never heard of him. Yet he's come on food bar and he's murdered it. His tongue moves so fast he might draw your chick. And I'm killing rappers on some fucking morbid shit. Yo, nobody's stopping me, I'm murdering properly.
my words are constantly on top and all my verbs are astonishing, yeah. Cocky as ever with these cunts in my presence. If I'm a cock and you're a cunt, then that just proves which one is getting fucked. Sucker punching these rappers munching on silly substance. These serpents love to buy foundations off the ones above on these ankle biters. Come up as tight as all vagina bars of mine are in a good line. I couldn't fucking find one.
Silla B. Straight out of Bristol.
Jeez.
This is the open mic on Fubar Radio. Remember, if you're an MC or producer and you want to take part in the open mic, hit us up at hiphop@fubarradio.com and send your beats through to us. Send us a snippet of your tracks and we'll see if you got what it takes. Kingskin, are you ready to rip one more time? You got some more bars for us?
Yeah, I got some more.
Okay, let's do it. It's Fubar Radio. This is hip hop. Let's do it.
Yo. Yeah, Kingskin. Yo. It's always most rowdy when the sun sets. So I spark skunkheads trying to just alleviate some stress. I want the best, not a penny less. My life's blessed. Still somehow got weight up on my chest. Fuck the rest. Not impressed with bars about liquor, cess, sex or a bulletproof vest. And any other rapper of me, that ain't a contest. You're not even on. All this nonsense is constant. To get Larry up with Lenny, then you better bring a whole tech. Better bring the process and hold till my soul sweats. Never gonna pick up on the bones like the vultures. Wanna go places and see different cultures. Feel a little faded like my printer just run out of toner. Still a little stoner, brushing off the herbs from my shoulder. I switch like a loner, hey. Sticky riz licks, flip bits like a donor. Cause I'm the sickest sinner when I'm eating dinner. When I'm eating dinner.
It's important eating dinner.
It is majorly important.
Lehi without sin cast the first stone. Up stood a nice man, living in a glass home. Fed up of the usual with Glocks in his bags though. On his way to throw fat rocks at a bando. He's living life in a vibrant pattern. Fake smiley faces into the violence scattered. Rolling through the city with the iron ballied. And the weapons big enough to make the threat invalid. There's dots on his legs, now he's spelt invalid. Rolling on two wheels, never caught in traffic. And the stairs in the crib are fucking automatic. And so he glides down the spiral as he sings with malice. Yeah. Pro-choice, nah, I'm never kidding. Psychedelic thoughts play my mind like the vinyl spinning. I write my writtens with my right hand fitting. I can't feel it, but it's thrilling. Feelings keep on drilling till my teeth are gritting. A villain swilling his liquor with venom spilling. He's unwilling, yet willing to bet his life on a Somalian shilling. Silla B, who fell out the villain tree and hit every branch with perfect symmetry. Mad villain, I might kill him. I'm past willing, my past vivid, yeah, I'm mad with it. I slap writtens when I match kiddies with my gang. When me raise a hand, will he? No, he won't, come, I stroke silly.
Yeah. Hey. Silla B.
Silla B.
Again.
Yeah.
What, have you got one more?
I got one more.
Okay, let's do it.
Yo. I keep trying to write better. Fuck your nice sweater. I watch the weather while I write letters. Chopping cheddar, cold streets, I'm a go-getter. Rock whatever, not tight jeans and black leather. Pigs think I'm selling like I'm hiding drugs and weapons. You'll get stop and search coming back from a wedding. This is truth that I'm telling, a real life lesson. The ones that will snake you will call you their brethren. Smoking cannabis, rolling ganja spliffs. I've heard enough of that shit, I can't handle it. Write some proper bars, work when you're putting graft. I'm proper calm with the words that I'm putting past. But it's just writing in it, and this is life I'm living. I can't decide if I'm high or just tired in it. Send me a nicer rhythm, something with the hyping in it. I'll take the mic and kill it, send it off with live and lyrics. Yeah.
That was open mic time right here on Fubar Radio. Thank you so much. That was Kingskin and Silla B. What are the links that you want to share with people if they want to track you down?
So it's just www.soundcloud.com/LeonardKingskin, and then same for Twitter and Facebook, just Leonard Kingskin, all one word.
Very nice. Silla B.
Cool. So Silla B, SYLLAB, music on everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's all the same.
Lovely. Thank you so much for coming through to the studio.
Thanks
for
having us.
That was so much fun. And thank you so much, Tudak, for joining me today on the co-hosting duties as well. As big up to Junior Marvin of the Wailers. We spoke to him earlier today. Kashmir Zygote, Strangey, thank you so much for your live performance and you guys for tuning into this show, because this show is truly all about you. Get in touch with us, hiphop@fubarradio.com. We want to hear from you guys and make sure you lock in live next Monday, 4 p.m. You know, hip hop takes over Fubar Radios. Word. And up next right now we have the mighty Paint and Sylvester. They're going to be taking care of you, but it's a peace out from me, Sarah Love, and a peace out
one
from
love
me.
Everyone, last one again, Sarah, Fubar Radio. What's up, nice Diggy, come back soon.
But thank you so much, guys, for representing.
Thank you for
thanks for having us.
Bristol in the house.
Bristol to the world.
And you know, I just like that we brought some unity to Bristol. Even though you're both from Bristol, didn't know each other, we united the family.
And if anyone's in West End Lane, Alley Cat, Denmark Street, I'm jamming with my band Flying Taylor. So if you're down by Denmark Street, come down to Alley Cat. Do it.
Brother, sister, there's got to be missing in our lives. Can't you see? We need love. A little word of confidence every now and then. A little honesty and trust among us. A little love and harmony, and there'll surely be some unity. Unity.